And my scripture reading is in Daniel, and it's Daniel, the first chapter, and starting with the first verse, Daniel 1:1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them for a daily portion from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence, and the appearance of the youths who are eating at the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these records of old. We thank you for Daniel and the 3 Hebrew children. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for their lives and what they stood for, how they conducted themselves. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would grant to us these same requests, that we would be found true to you and continue to walk in your paths all of our days. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless these words and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask. And amen. And my text is the Daniel 1 and 15, which reads, "At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the ewes who had been eating the king's choice food." Daniel, Nat, would you like for us to go ahead and pray for you now?
He's back with her. I wasn't about to be
praying. Well, praise God.
He's good now. He's good.
Well, come on up. The ones that would like to. Today, my message to you is about these scriptures that we read to you in the first chapter of Daniel. And of course, there's many great scriptures about Daniel and the Hebrew children and the things that they were confronted with as they were held captive by the Babylonians. My message is entitled, "Take a Stand." Take a stand. And if you'll think about Daniel and just put yourself in his situation and these three young Hebrew boys, and you have to remember now, it's easy to think of Daniel as being an old man anytime you think of him. But actually, they were young men at this particular point in time. Probably, I'd say, could have been even in their late teens, but certainly probably at least within the 20s. And so they were young youth. I would say probably no more actually than early 20s at the latest. But we tend to let our imaginations tell us that these men that we read about in our Bible were older than we were, than they were, even included when you think about Jesus Christ and him walking on this earth and his disciples that were with him and followed him. They actually were young men. Jesus was only 33 when he went back to the Father. 33. That's younger than David, younger than some of the others. And that was his age when he went back to the Father. Of course, his age when he started his ministry was somewhere around the very late 20s, 29, 28, 29, 30, along in there. So we're talking young men. But these men, most of the ones that we are speaking of, they had maturity beyond their age. And they had a devotion that it came to them naturally. And that is what we need to try to instill in our young people. And our young people need to get this themselves by their service to God. That they need to be true to God. They need to, as my message says, take a stand. And sometimes we're placed in situations in our life in which we are forced, whether we want to or not, whether we like it or not, we're forced to take a stand. And the thing is, what stand do we take? Do we take a stand that is like the world and the people around us, like everybody else is doing? Or do we take a stand on our faith to God, on our convictions, and on that we get from reading His Word and from the guidance that we've been given through the years? This first invasion by the Babylonians and the king Nebuchadnezzar that I read you about, this invasion took place in about 600 years. Actually, it's called 605 years B.C. And it's only recorded in this Daniel chapter 1. And this particular event of Babylon invading Jerusalem, invading Israel, served as the vehicle that caused Daniel and the three Hebrew children, all the other ones that were taken captive from Israel around the land, and particularly around Jerusalem. It served as a vehicle that transported them from Jerusalem, their home, to Babylon. And the king of that land was wise enough to want to incorporate as best as he could into his political system the very best of the captives, the one that he thought held the most promise. Those are the ones that he wanted to use. So he made a plan that they would gather together these youths, and of which was Daniel and the three Hebrew children. And they were to be given the choice foods. And that food was what the king thought was choice. And that was what was commonly served. But it was not the food that the Hebrew children, the Jewish lads that were there, it was not what they were used to. It was not the food that they ate ordinarily. And it was not God-honoring food or God-approved food, as we read about in the Old Testament. It was not food that was okay to eat according to the Torah. And the subsequent events that happened to these Hebrew children and Daniel, and particularly focusing on Daniel, can be described in three sentences. And those are: Daniel purposed or planned, you might say, as he heard the king's laws that went forth concerning the captives and concerning himself. He purposed within his mind or plan, and he persevered, and Daniel prospered. Let's look at each one of these. And the first is that Daniel, when he heard of this decree by the king of what he was to eat, how his diet was to change, naturally, he didn't like what he heard, because he knew it was meant he had to disobey what he had been taught, how he had been brought up, how he had been eating up to that point in time. Let's go to verse 8 of Daniel 1. But Daniel made up his mind. There is where we get that he had been given this some thought. It wasn't coincidental. It wasn't haphazard. Daniel made up in his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. He knew it would be against the commandment of God, against the law of his land, if he ate what the king had purposed for them to eat in preparing them to do service in the king's court. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor. God heard Daniel's request. He knew his situation, and he granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. You know, it does all of our heart good, especially the older ones, to see young people with strong convictions concerning moral and spiritual matter. And Daniel perhaps stands at the top of the list of all the generations who have been willing to take a stand for what they know is right and what they know that God would have them to do at any cost. He insisted, Daniel did, that he would not defile himself with food that was opposed to his religious training. When the person that was in charge of him and his friends protested that to grant Daniel's request would endanger his own life, Daniel then had another part of his plan. God allowed Daniel the intelligence to think of an alternative, to think of a way that he would not have to defile himself and disobey God. So Daniel pleaded to this person in charge for a 10-day test of another alternative. And that alternative was that in which he would be allowed, he and his friend would be allowed to eat vegetables and water instead of the king's choice food and wine to drink. And we know that Daniel must have been an exceptional young man, and obviously with a winning personality, because the Babylonians officials quickly agreed to his proposition. Not knowing the outcome, the man was so impressed by the fine spirit of this Jewish lad that he laid his own life on the line. And what a wonderful testimony it is to the world about us also when we stick to the principles that we have been brought up with. When we do what we know God would have us to do. Take a stand for what is right. Don't compromise just because the ones around you are doing certain things and behaving in a certain way. Your heart tells you if it's right or not. Your heart will convict you. God will lay on you whether this is something you ought to be involved in or not. And then it remains for you to take a stand. Daniel, when he heard of this decree from the king, he had two choices. Just go with it exactly like it came to him, or let his heart tell him that it's something that he shouldn't do. It would be to disobey God in order to obey exactly what the king said, or in essence, what the law of the land at that particular moment was. So Daniel decided there was an option. God laid it on his heart what that option was. And Daniel acted upon it. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not compromise what he knew was wrong. He decided to keep on doing things God's way. Daniel then persevered. An old saying goes, if at first you don't succeed, then try again. And brought into a Christian context, we might say that to live the Christian life requires more than one decision to live for Jesus. That initial decision to turn your heart and your life and your path over to God, that initial decision is an extremely important decision. And though that decision isn't important, It is just important to know that each Christian is going to face each and every day of his life, and probably the very day that he gives his heart and life over to Jesus Christ, he's going to be faced with decisions which can jeopardize him being a Christian, which can jeopardize his faith in God. And so each Christian, almost moment by moment, has to make decisions regarding his service to God. And sometimes this involves insisting to others, as Daniel did, that we be allowed to live our Christian life and worship our God regardless of the rules and regulations that prevail in an institution or perhaps in a foreign country. Perhaps the best translation of Daniel 1:11. Let's read that. Daniel 1:11. But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the best translation of that is that Daniel kept on saying, which means that he had to repeat his request several times to this official. In the New Testament, the proper translation of the Greek verbs in Jesus' teaching on prayer is keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it will be open to you. Let's go to Matthew 7:7 and read the exact words there. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. But to make that clearer, it required more than just asking one time. Sometimes things don't come to us just immediately and quickly and easily. Just like life is not always a bed of roses. Each day is not always sweet and wonderful. We must keep on trusting God. We must keep on with our faith. We must keep on standing firm and taking a stand if it is required each and every day of our life, if not many times in the day. Keep on asking and you will receive. Don't give up easily with your good request to God. He hears, He knows. He's going to answer, but it's going to be in His time and His way and for your best good. And that's why you ought not to be in so much of a hurry and think that it's going to happen overnight, because God is going to do it the best way for you, for your best interest. And so, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Paul spoke of pressing on for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, suggesting that the accomplishments of his Christian goal meant perseverance. It's not the one who gets off the quickest and runs the fastest in the race that necessarily makes it to the end, that necessarily receives the prize. It's the one who perseveres. That's why each one of us should have a made-up mind that we're in this life, the Christian life, for the long haul. We're in it all of our lives, What good would it do if you're in it for a small portion of your life and then you fall away? To fall away, as that described, would be to be lost. And we know that none of us wants that. So we've got a purpose in our heart, as Daniel purposed. We've got a purpose in our heart that this is forever. Our life and the change and this new birth, this rebirth, and this growth process that we are in, it's for the rest of our life. And we want to hold on and be holding on to Jesus Christ until we draw our last breath. And we will be assured of being part of God's kingdom as we do that. We will be assured that we are a child of God, that He is ours and we are His. He will not turn loose of us. We will have to do the turning loose. He will not put us aside after accepting us as His children. He will protect us. He will provide for us. He will deliver us. He'll be with us. He'll never leave us alone. He will always have His Holy Spirit tugging at our hearts to bring us back to Him, to bring us closer to Him. Daniel purposed in his heart, and Daniel persevered, insisted. And Daniel prospered. And at this point, when we talk about prospering or being successful, we need to be very careful that we don't take that to the wrong level. And certainly we cannot expect automatic promotions or raises every time we do a good deed for the Lord. And if this were true, then Christianity and service to God would be more like an insurance policy. And of course, we know that it's to be of service to God, to become a child of His, and to be acceptable of Him as such. And that at the end of the way, at the end of our life, there awaits rewards. There awaits a blessing from God, and one of which is eternal life, living forever and ever with Him. We must do right. We must do right because God wants us to do right. His commands are righteous and leads to righteousness. And Jesus told us to do our good deeds, not even expecting a reward. But we know rewards come. Sometimes, as in the case of Daniel, God rewards us openly and outwardly and quickly. And when we live in harmony with the moral and spiritual laws that He has established in the universe, His royal commandments, these commandments that we have on our wall, they are His laws for mankind. We need to find ourselves trying our very best to abide in His laws, to do His laws. And as we do, we live in harmony with Him and with man, because they are laws concerning living with man, living with neighbor, and living with God. And when we do, we're cooperating with God, and then we can expect success, because success is inevitable. Success will come as we abide in God and do His will and His laws. Daniel was true to the things God had set forth for him to obey. And therefore, he prospered greatly. Let's look at the verse 14. Daniel 1 and 14. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. Let's go to 17. As for these four youths, God gave them, this is how God is going to reward them, and how he can reward you. Gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Let's go down to verse 20. As for every other matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. Don't you see, we will have success when we do things God's way. We will prosper when we obey him. There's one poet that said, I know that right is right, and it's not good to lie. That love is better than spite, and a neighbor than a spy. I know that conscience needs the leash of a sober mind. I know that each good deed some sure reward will find. In the darkest night of the year, when the stars are all gone out, that courage is better than fear, that faith is truer than doubt. Fierce though the fiends may fight, and long though the sun may hide, I know the truth and right have the universe on their side. Daniel was rewarded quickly, but some of us will have to wait for a while. That wait is usually quick. As you stay steadfast in God, in all of our life, as in this record of Daniel and the three Hebrew children, three Hebrew boys, in our life, it's going to come points that we will be faced with pretty severe situations as life presents itself to some of us. And the question is, what will you do? When faced by an overwhelming enemy, Daniel and these young men were far away from home, in a foreign country, held captive against their will by an overwhelming enemy that had just conquered their land. They were in the minority. What will you do when dictates of a man are contrary to God's command? What will you do? Obviously, there are going to come times in the future when you read prophecy and revelation. There are going to come times, and not just biblically and prophetically, but there's going to come other times in your lives, particularly young people, where they're going to be faced with what to do. And God will let you know that what's presented to you, you shouldn't do. And these scriptures should tell each one of us, do what is right. Do what your convictions let you know that you should do. Take a stand. As Daniel, will you make a decision to stand firm on your convictions? Will you, as he did, state your position in truth to God and to man? State the consequences of disobedience to God and man. To Daniel, to do what the king was requesting would be to defile himself, his body, eating unclean food, food that God had not approved. Will you, as Daniel, remember to ask for God's intervention? In that second chapter, we're told of another vision that Daniel would face in trying to decipher. And in that particular instance, in the second chapter, it records that Daniel went to God along with his friends. In verse 17 of chapter 2, then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from God of heaven concerning this mystery. Do you see? Daniel had faith in God. Daniel knew if he needed help, supernatural help, to meet the supernatural situation that he was in, he knew what to do. He knew that there was a God to deliver. Will you remember when you're in that situation? Will you ask God's intervention? And then will you, as Daniel and the three Hebrew children, stand firm on God's promises and His power? In closing, I would like for all of us to say to each other, I don't know if you can turn quickly enough, but maybe you'll eventually memorize this. I want us to say to each other God's blessing to us as children of His. In Numbers 6 and 24, God gives a blessing to bless each other as His children. Numbers 6, 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you. You read that with me. And be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. That's God's blessing to each one of us. And as we read it, we're reading it to each other. And God truly blesses us. Stand with me in prayer.